I'm sure most of you know Royal. We're privileged to have him share with us this morning. I have asked him to come here because I know that he carries the Spirit of the Lord with him. And I know that he seeks the Lord's direction in preparing that ministry that he shall share with us. And I believe that we are facing days that lie ahead of us that we're going to need to be awakened, that God is real, that God does speak. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Royal has brought a young man with him by the name of Tyler, and I'm not sure exactly how things are going to work, but I give it to you now, our brother, 70 Royal Roden.
Well, thank you, Jim. Sometimes I wonder, I'm just a farm boy coming from western Iowa, and I guess Tyler isn't much different. He's raised there in a farm family. But you know, I just want to talk a little bit about faith today, and I hope you'll understand where I'm coming from. But remember, with God, all things are possible. And he could use and he needs all kinds of people and different kinds. And I hope and pray that this day that we'll follow and find the will of God. I was thinking back about the Old Testament heroes of the day, the faithful. You know, Enoch, he walked with God. And Noah kept on building the ark when on dry land. And you know, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, his son. And Sarah came to believe what at first she just laughed at. She could be pregnant. Moses went up against the mighty Pharaoh. Joshua and the walls of Jericho fell when they went around. When David faced Goliath. And when Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And today, I just wanted to share with you just a few things. You know, and I guess I've been blessed. I wasn't raised in this faith, but when we have a branch there in Woodbine that I attend, and you know, sometimes you need to think a little bit about the people you worship with and the things that have happened to them. I want to share just one testimony before I ask Tyler to come. He's a new, in the priesthood, fairly new. And you know, our pastor, he had a call for him. And as young as he is, it was directly to elder. And some of the people wondered, you know, wow. But he's been a blessing to us. And he has a testimony that's strong and good. A week ago yesterday, we baptized six at the reunion, and he gave the best. I was starting to say one of the best, but I'm not going to say that. He gave the best talk I'd ever heard at a baptismal service. And so I wanted to share with you him. I wanted to share his testimony, I hope, of what why he's in his faith. And then I'd like to come back and share some things. We've been very blessed in where I came from. Our pastor that called Tyler, he passed away a year ago. But I just want to share you his testimony a little bit to kind of set the mood, maybe. He went to the, when he come out of school, he went to the Marine Corps, and Korea was going on. He went over to Korea. Just a farm boy. And he said they came on the island, and he said we were immediately in battle, just as loud and as hard. And he said, I didn't know. It was really foreign to what I knew, but the battle was going so strong. And he said, all of a sudden, the battle stopped. Every gun stopped. It was quiet. And he said, I looked over my back, and he said, across the water, Christ was walking towards me. And he said, he came right up to me. And his name was Dan. He said, Dan, he said, you're going to be all right. You're going to go home. And I've got a work for you to do. And then Dan said he went on and he spoke to four other men on that battlefield. And he said he left. Then he said just the way he came in and he left. And of course he said the battle just went on. He said he talked to those men and he almost told them the same thing, that they were going to get home safely. And he had picked them out for work to do. And Dan also, later on, he was one of those, and so cold, and they weren't prepared for the cold. And I don't know if you know about it, but they marched out of there so cold they could hardly stand it. And the man in charge told him not to ever stop marching, to keep marching, and he yelled at him and kept them going as long as he could. Some died on the way. Dan, later on in his life, his kids and his wife would say that sometimes when he would, even in his sleep, he must have listened to the man in charge because his feet would just always march. And it kept him alive. I want to talk about faith in the day we live. And if you think God isn't strong and powerful, you're probably not listening to the God we worship and the God we love. I've asked Tyler to come up and to share his testimony and pray that you'll listen and understand why I brought him.
I feel like he kind of put me up here, and I feel like I'm kind of down here. I do feel unworthy to have such a opportunity in the church that I have and the responsibilities that I have. With a testimony of why I'm in this church, I attended a retreat in Geneseo, Illinois. And I was 12 years old, me and a couple of my other friends from church, we all rode out there. And my mother's Methodist, well, was Methodist. She was baptized the last Saturday of reunion. And she was Methodist, and Dad was in the Restoration. And all the years of growing up, I really never went to church. They never pushed us. I have an older sister and a younger brother, and they never pushed us what direction that they thought we should go. They let us choose our way, so to speak. And being 12 and being in these classes with all these other children and everything, that they all got their own Bibles and they all know how to pray, and they can all answer these questions that I didn't have any answers for. And so I became a little discouraged, and I started praying that week. You know, Lord, give me a sign. Where should I go? Do I join Dad's church and upset Mom, or do I join Mom's church and upset Dad? And some might think it would be a little silly for a 12-year-old to be worrying about something like that, but you know, all the kids that were in my church were all baptized, but me and my brother and my sister. And so this really started bothering me. And I went that whole week without anything, without a sign. I would have taken anything. Just, you know, the just most minute sign, I would have taken it if he would have given it to me. But he blessed me in a way that more than I could ever imagined. That last night, the ending service before we all been leave that morning, there's three men up on the rostrum singing as we were all gathering in a circle getting ready for the closing prayer. And as they were singing, two angels came down and began to sing with them. He blessed me more than what I had ever expected. I returned home and I told my mom, Dad, I said, I want to be baptized by my grandfather. He holds the office of priest. I said, I want to be baptized by Grandpa at reunion. And my brother, being 8, he kind of followed suit of his older brother. He said, I want to be baptized too. So with this, my father was a little concerned about what the choice I was making, and I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him why I chose to be in the church until probably a couple years ago. I never told that testimony to him. And so my father was praying, you know, Lord, is this the right thing for them to be doing? I don't want to lead them astray. It'd be better for me to tie a millstone around my neck and cast myself in the depths of the sea than to lead the child astray. So he prayed that two white doves would be seen at our baptismal service. And starting the service, I was baptized by Grandpa first, and then following me, my brother was baptized. And this whole time, through me being baptized and through ministries and musics and the talks and everything, there was no white doves seen until my brother come up out of the water. He goes, Grandpa, Grandpa, and Grandpa said, no, shh, you know, the service isn't over yet. You know, keep it down, be quiet. He goes, and if you've ever been to our baptismal fountain, it's in the ground, it's out in the hills, in the Lus Hills in Iowa, and it's in the shape of a cross in the ground, and it's fed by a natural spring coming right out of the hill. This water coming right out of the ground is 40 degrees, and it's very beautiful. It's crystal clear, and when you're baptized in it, you get baptized laying down like you're laying down in the cross. And as he come up out of the water, he said, Grandpa, Grandpa, no, there's two white doves sitting at the foot of the cross. What more could I ask for in a God that is so wonderful? And I feel so inadequate to serve him, but he has blessed me abundantly in a way that I could never, ever imagine. I kind of want to tell another testimony before I let Royal get back up here. A couple years after that, I was probably about 15. I was helping Dad move hay, and after I'd been baptized, I kind of, you know how you kind of forget why you joined the church? You kind of forget what brought you there. Sometimes you get so caught up in all the worldly things and things that you're doing in your life, you forget why you're here. You're not here just because you think you have to. There's a reason. I hope that all of you have a testimony of Jesus Christ of why you're here. But I kind of got leaning away from it during the summer. You know, we work on the farm and we're really busy, so some Sundays I didn't go to church. You know, we walk fence all day, we cut thistles all day, and I was kind of, you know, leaning away from it and kind of forgetting why I joined this church, what led me to be in this church. And I was helping my father move hay from down in one of our hay fields. We had to travel a stretch of road about a mile to where we put the hay bales so we can feed the cattle in the wintertime. And so it's more accessible for us. And we had gotten two or three bales. He was driving a tractor and I was driving a tractor, and I had a bale spear in the front and a bale spear in the back so I could carry two at a time. And he had the same. And I was staying ahead of him, and I'd unload my bales, and he'd come in behind and unload his. And where my uncle's driveway is, where we put the bales, is on the crest of a hill with a corner on at the top of it. And then there's his driveway, and it's completely blind. And then you can't see anything when you come out to the end of that driveway. You have to stay back a ways, look in front of the plum thicket to make sure that there's no trucks or anything coming, because there's a cattle yard right there, and they have a lot of grain trucks and rock trucks coming up and down the way. And I pulled up and I stopped, and I looked both ways, and there was nobody coming. And I looked again, and there's still nobody coming. So I pulled out with this tractor, and with the front end loader on it, I mean, you take up the whole road when you swing out in lane. I had this whole road completely blocked. My bale spear was at least hanging off over into the ditch as I swung around. And as I stopped, there was a rock truck coming down the hill, and he was within 20, 30 feet of me. This man didn't brake. He didn't honk his horn. And all I could think was, oh, God. This truck passed through me like I was a mist of a cloud. He didn't stop. He just kept driving like he didn't even see me. He drove right through the front of my tractor. And as it happened, I turned and looked at my dad, and he was sitting there behind me witnessing what just happened. I mean, I'm frozen to the steering wheel, and I how do you explain something like that? How do you tell people that and expect them to believe you, other than my father seeing what happened? And I drove on down down to the pond where our hay field is, one of our hay fields, and I stopped and I got off the tractor and I shut it off. And I got and I looked around and I was looking at the front of the tractor and I'm shaking, you know. And my dad comes down next to me with his tractor, and he gets off, and he grabs a bale spear, and he's looking at it, and he looks at me, and he goes, boy, you better thank the Lord. He goes, when I seen that rock truck coming, he goes, I couldn't yell, I couldn't do anything. The tractor's so loud, he said, you never heard me. He goes, I thought I was going to watch you get in a wreck of a mess. And I was going to lose my son before my eyes. So when that rock truck came up to you in an instant, he said, you were gone. When it passed, you were back. So I know God is good. And I know sometimes I do forget why I'm here. But we need to keep that unshaken faith, even if it is just the size of a mustard seed. No matter how small the blessing you have, no matter how great, just show that you love Him and that you care for Him by what you do in your daily life. Testify to Him. I hope you all have testimonies of God. I got many more, but those are the two most important ones that I have had in my life. He's shown His raw power to me, that He spared me in an instant when I was completely helpless. And sometimes we get completely helpless and we don't even help to think about Him. But sometimes take that time, no matter how hard the trial, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacle you foot. Always remember that He's there and He can help you no matter what. And I believe this to be true, and I believe this church to be true, and this is why I'm in this church, those very testimonies. because of the power and the love and the mercy that God has showed me. God bless you and thank you.
Well, thank Tyler, and I also bring him along to drive too, because he can get her there. But he's special. You know, faith, and I heard him talking about this morning, it's, if I just knew the will of God all the time, I think I'd get along a lot better in life. But to know the will of God, and to see his blessings, and to do those things, and, you know, I was, this week, Monday, my grandson was operated on. He had always had an eye that stay shut, you know. I suppose we call it lazy eye. I don't think that's what they call it, but it's like this ever since he's born. They had to wait till this long. He's just turned four, long enough so they could take a muscle out of his, or the tissue out of his leg and put it, and they had to do both eyes. It's quite an operation. They do both eyes so they work the right way. And of course, everybody was so nice to him at reunion, you know, and he's ministered to, and you know, they just steal your heart, those little ones. But anyway, he's talking to his grandma, and I think it was the night before, and said, you know, Grandma, there's going to be angels in that room with me. And I'm not afraid. And I thought, you know, he's listened someplace along the line, and there he's listened and heard something, or else the Lord just made it known to him. But I just enjoyed how God uses young people and sometimes protects them. And I've seen more blessings and healings probably in little ones than I have in adults. But a child has more innocent faith, or just faith, a lot of times than adults do. And you can prove that. We've been in the world long enough that we don't trust a lot of things, and so it takes us quite a while to get to trusting again. But I always do that simple thing. I've probably shared it with you, but if you take a child and tell them stand, you say, I'll catch it, just fall backwards, they'll just fall backwards. Tell an adult to do that you'll catch them and just fall. And I bet you most of the time they're going to protect themselves. They're not going to fall just like a little child was, because they don't trust like a child does. And to trust God with everything. And I've shared it before. I just wanted to say one thing. You know, I did lose my life, my wife, years ago to cancer, and I never thought she'd die. She had a lot of faith, and she did it. But the one thing, when things weren't going very well, I was up on the field, up on the hill, and in my health insurance, I had a maximum. I had a deal, and I figured it was, you know, going to come close to that. And I went up to the Lord, and I guess I wanted to tell him that if you need to, just take it all, and I'll do the best I could. But you know, I learned something there too. Yielding ourselves to God. But I said, I'd appreciate if my children wouldn't be raised with a chip on their shoulder, that they'd be free to be what you want them to be, and they would enjoy life and appreciate those things that he's given us. I guess in that experience, in one way, I was freed. I was free to be whatever God wanted us to do and to go through. And I learned a lot of things in life, but I learned one thing. I was given enough strength, I could have buried her myself. And sometimes I think maybe we get cheated sometimes, I don't know. But I know one thing, I never thought I'd have that much strength. But the Lord hasn't been, I don't understand how He puts families together. I don't understand how He knows what's going to happen down the road. I don't understand all that, but I know He does. He knows all about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I know He knows me better than I know myself, because this isn't the way I'd have went if it had been me. The last place I'd have been to be up here and speak in front of people, because I was a bashful boy. And I always, if you don't remember that, you might as well remember this, because I had 2 years in kinder, in a little country school. I really appreciate that. But at the program, I was so bashful, the teacher let me put my back to the audience and say my piece. So that's how bashful I was. And I guess someplace along the line, I figured it didn't do any good, so I'm doing the best I can. And the Lord does wonderful things. When I was, my wife, before all this took place, or any, and my new wife, I remarried, and before this ever happened, she had a dream when she was in high school. And in that dream, she was on a farm, and she was wiping the tears from this little blonde-haired girl. And you know, later on, when things came around and we were both single, that dream came back to her. Now listen, folks, that was years before the Lord knew all was gone, and He's going to take care of the things already before. And so I was glad she didn't tell me about it before I proposed to her, but I appreciated that. But you know, her dad had an experience. Father-in-law, he passed away a few years ago. He had pneumonia when he was a little boy. It was in the 30s, and snow was real high, and the doctor came to see him, and the neighbors cut the fences and helped the doctor get in on a bobsled, I think it was, and to get through the snow. And anyway, the doctor said this to him. He said, "There's no use me coming back, because he won't live through the night." Anyway, his name was Gerald, and he said, Gerald said, he's about 12 years old, I suppose, maybe not quite that old. And he said, "When I looked up that morning, there was an angel standing at the bottom of my bed." He didn't say a word, but he said, "I saw him, it was clear." And he said, "I became well. I was healed." All his life, he believed in ministration, he believed in prayer, but he wasn't even a member of the church. But he knew God had protected him and helped him. You know, I don't know why things happen to some of us and it doesn't happen to others. And I remember sometimes you need to look at your congregation better. I bet there's some of you out there have had tremendous experiences, but I'll tell you something happened to me not so long ago when I stopped at my neighbor's place. I suppose I'd been at a reunion or something. I started telling him, and you wouldn't know he believed in God at all. And I told him an experience at a reunion and things going on. And you know what he told me? He said, "Royal, when I was young, I had a terrible car accident." He said, "I started going through this tube. There was light." And he said, "I got to a certain place. A voice spoke to me and said, 'It's not your time. You got to go back. Got to go back.'" So he said, "I went back," and he said, "I never told anybody. Never told anybody." He said, "I finally told my wife one time." And then he said another thing, and he said, "This just happened a little while ago. His wife, his mother died. He's the only son, only child. In fact, I had the service, funeral service. And anyway," he said, "Royal, she came to me." He said, "I was awake. I know I was awake. She just talked to me like talking to me." And he said, "She wanted me to tell me that everything was all right. It'd be all right." And you know, sometimes when you think you're going to get ministry, or you're going to give ministry, you're surprised. But I'm thinking there's a lot of people, folks, that the Lord's way ahead of us, that are out there, that have experiences, that have something with God, that sometime in their life, but they don't know what to do with it. And sometimes they see the confusion of the churches, and the confusion they think is in everybody, and they just give up. My sister was never I didn't think a great churchgoer, at least, and she wasn't, I didn't think, a great religious person. One time after Mom died, it's been probably 91, or she said, "I cried every day." And she said, "One day Mom came to me. She said, 'Judy, this life here is just about this much of what it's all about.' And she said, 'It'll be all right.'" And she said, "I was healed. I didn't cry anymore." And I'm getting to thinking, people, the more I learn, the more I understand and try to know what God is, that He wants to help us, and He wants us to be what we're created to be. But I know sometimes I get in the way of what God wants. And the things that really bother me is how many times I've passed somebody by. I know I have. Well, I've gone, I thought, boy, I missed an opportunity. I had a chance to say something. I could have done that. I could have helped them. And I wonder how many people we pass up on the way. We had a man in the church, and when he was younger, became an alcoholic. And he was bad. He was bad in the community. He was really an alcoholic. And one time he had two sisters, and they forced him to go to a place that he might be healed of that affliction. And he said, "I was so mad at him." But they got it done, and he was. And in fact, he met his wife to be in that. She was working there, and they met each other. He came home, and he did construction work. And one time he fell from a scaffold, and he hurts his arm real bad, and his fingers didn't work too good, but he still worked construction. And I know, I think I was pastor then. And I looked out. The Lord had me look at his hands in a different way. those hands are going to be used to serve people. And then he was being called to a priest.
You know, those scriptures I read about, I couldn't do anything if it wasn't without God. When he leaves me, I'm gone. I'm out because I don't have the abilities that God has given me. They're not a natural ability, I don't think. I think God has just helped me to be able to help someone else. I came down the road a while back, and my little stepson, I mean my grandson was with me, and we were getting some meat we'd butchered, and I came up there, and there was a car off the side, and it was a van, and I thought I saw somebody in there, so I went by, and then I saw somebody walking, so I just whipped around and asked them. They had problems, and they're away from everything, and they said, well, he said, ran out of gas. And he said, I got to check in Ottawa if I can get to that town. And anyway, I said, well, I'm going that way, and I'm coming back this way, so I said, I'll hook his gas. So he put his, I don't know why, he stayed there with the man. I suppose maybe thought somebody would take it, and he put his wife in with us. And so she went with us, and she was hoping somebody would loan him a jug or something to get. I said, well, I doubt that's going to happen. So she went in there and asked, and so I bought her a jug and went down to get some gas and put some gas in it. And she said, I'll give you the money. I've give you all the money I got. I got $2.50 or $2.60. It's all the money they had. I said, no. I said, you keep the money and I'll get back. So anyway, we actually fell it up. Of course, he wanted to give me the jug. And I said, no, just keep the jug. And I said, I'm going to give you some money. Well, they said, well, give me your name and address and we'll pay you back. And I said, no, that isn't what I want. And I said, it's just been an honor for me to be here. The Lord just... But I said, the Lord's good. And I said, I want you to help someone else along the road. You know, it's nothing. It's just that I happened to be there. It just happened to be the Lord set it up that maybe I could help him. But can you imagine? $2.50, all the money she had. Times are getting tougher for some people. Maybe for you, I don't know. And we got to look out and make sure that we can't be a help to someone in need. And it probably won't get a lot better maybe over for a while, a long time, I don't know, until May the Lord comes. I don't know. But I know sometimes people need something. And I've been blessed this year, or especially this summer, because I went by a neighbor, and I don't go up to this farm too much, and I just happened to come out, and I saw him out there. He's got him and his wife, and I think they've adopted about either four children. And he stopped me, and we talk about God sometimes and talk about things. And he said, my wife had cancer. But the operation went real well, and they think, you know, got it. But he said she came home, she got these terrible aches and pains, and said she's got, and then we took her in there and she got infection. And that's what really set her back. And so, anyway, they were going on about that. And anyway, I happened to come back, and she was out there, and she had these needles they put in for the infection. They gave her all kinds of stuff in the vein. And so I said, well, she said, do you know any place I can rent a tiller? I said, no, but I'll tell you what, I've got a tiller. And so my grandson was with me again, so I was real fortunate. We went home and got the tiller, and he helped me, and we cleaned up the garden. The garden had gotten out of control, so we helped do that. It was really hot that day, and we said, well, we'll come back in the morning and finish that. Now remember, it's nothing to do with me. It's just that I happened to be maybe where the Lord wanted me to be. But anyway, I went back the next day, and he had come back from work late, but he went ahead and he got it all cleaned out, just finished it all up. And I said, well, just keep the tiller till you need it. Anyway, I got the nicest card. But here's what I want her. And here's what she said. After she thanked us in a wonderful way, she said, and it's so wonderful for my children to see how God works with other people and that he'll take care of us. And I was so thrilled. And then he brought that tiller back quite a while longer, and he said, you know, for some reason, making that garden clean, and I'm sure they use it really well with their children, he said that brought her more joy and brought her up higher than anything had. I thought, it was nothing for me. It was really not a big deal for me to be able there, but I was in the spot, in the place that God wanted us to be at a certain time. You've been there, some of you. I don't know, maybe all of you have, but we've been in times when God has put us in a position, and we know it's even God's will at times to help someone in need. And even today, as I think about the things that are coming about upon this earth, that God's very well the needs of its people. And he also knows there's some that need to be even angels to others. Why is it we don't go out sometimes? Why are we so hesitant to do those things that are needed in our life and in the life of other people? It brought me so much joy to be able to help priesthood members when we've been called to the hospital to go and minister to somebody. I always say, I really got paid. Not in money, but I got paid better than any money could give. Because something happened in there when you help someone that can give you great joy that you can't get in the world until you yield. You know, I don't care what things you think about or politics or whatever it is. But somebody was telling me that we have to have, they talk about common consent, and I didn't get into details. I haven't got caught up in that. I know some have tried to do it and whatever, and I guess I don't understand it. Because I said one thing. You mean if I'm the only one, I can hold back the whole congregation? And I said to the person that was trying to do, don't you know sometimes it's good for us to yield? Do we always have to get our way? I've been pastor. I know at one time, there's a few times I just knew I was right. But it must not have been the time. It must not have been everything was right. And so, I guess I yielded to him. And later on, things happened. The Lord took care of it. Everybody wants common consent. Everybody wants us all to do. But once in a while, I have had to yield. It was good for me to yield. It's good for me to yield to God. It's good for our children to learn how to yield. We aren't the only thing. We become so much in ourselves that it's just joy to me. I want this and I need this. You know, that little money that I had the opportunity to give won't make a bit of difference in the big deal plan of things. And you know, God, We don't realize how great God is. We don't realize. And I think about this. I love my family. You know, you do anything for your family. But sometime there's going to come a time, whether on this earth or the time on the other side, that we're going to have to learn to love everyone. And it's hard. Because we're not taught that in the world. We're taught to take care of number one. But you know, the Lord has blessed us. And sometimes, the more you give, the more you're blessed. And sometimes people are almost jealous of the person that has a lot of money. And some of those guys I know and some I don't. But some of them give freely. And they receive freely. It's a principle. If you don't learn how to give, you don't learn how to receive. Boy, we have a lot to learn, don't we? About a year, I don't know if it's been a year ago, one time, maybe it hadn't been that long. I was setting up at a communion service, and for some reason, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came to me. Royal. It's time for you to back off just a little. Let some of the young ones take their place, and let them grow and be what they're created to do. And you know, I listened to that. While I'm capable and able, maybe I can help someone else and understand a few things that has taken me a long time. But I don't know how to teach a person to be a wonderful minister or preacher, except for one thing. And I go back and I think of Enoch and some of these so powerful men. But he didn't start out that way. What did he say? I'm just a lad. People laugh at me. You know, I was going to bring some mustard seeds because Jane just bought some stuff and herbs and put that up there. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many's in that little bottle, but there's probably hundreds of them. And a mustard seed isn't very big. But he said, if we have faith of mustard seed, and if you trust him, and if you yield to him. I think that's one of the hardest things, is to yield. Because we want to be protected. I might make a mistake. Things might not go the way I want it to go. I have so many testimonies of how good God's been. But you know, for some reason we seem to think we don't ever use faith in our everyday life, but we do. Do you trust your wife? Do you trust your husband? Do you trust God? We've been so blessed. This nation has been so blessed. But folks, there's some things I've learned, and it's very interesting to me. Of as much as we're blessed, we're not the happiest people. Out by San Francisco, in one of the richest places in the nation, they have more psychiatrists per capita than any place in the world. And they're supposed to be, they're rich, most of them. What makes you happy? Does counting money, you know, I had an attorney friend, and he went and he started this, he took over for this older attorney, and This younger attorney said, "Man, you've done well. You're successful." And he said, "I'll tell you something. I'm not successful. All I got's money. All I got's money." What brings us joy and happiness? And sometimes we go into a nation, and I'm a little sometimes hate that, because sometimes we go into a nation and we think, "Oh, those poor people, they don't know anything about happiness and joy," and yet some of them are happy. You know why? Because some of them are surrounded by family. Sometimes it's grandpa and grandma and children on down. They see each other all the time. They eat together and they play together and they enjoy the things and know they don't have much money. But sometimes they have joy. And I think we need to take a look at ourselves and see where joy is really going to come from, and within ourselves, and what's down in there, and what the Lord is going to do for us to make us happy. I'm concerned, and I can see it in China and see it in all the others. We wanted everybody to live like America, and we thought we were doing such a great thing, and people all can't live like that. We're going to deplete everything, and we're coming to a point now, and we can see what the benefits are. Years ago, out in the Northwest, one of the last of the chiefs said something that I think was probably pretty prophetic. As they took away everything, I'm sure they did, from him and his little nation, he said to the white man, an American person, he said this: "Someday, you're going to have to live on top of your garbage." They told me that you only use 20% of what you have. That's all you use of your stuff you have. 80% you don't use. 20% is all you probably need, at least. And we want more. And David said it the best. And I appreciate King David, because he was really inspired when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He could have said, "I'm king," but he said, "I'm just a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm just a dumb sheep." That's what he was saying. "I'm not smart enough to run my life without him." Think about it. If the Lord was really your shepherd, I want to talk to young people. If the Lord was really your shepherd, you'll never want again. But we want and want, and we still don't know what we want. But the Lord's going to make us a wonderful people. He's going to yield us. He's going to make us what we need to be, if we just listen and let him. How long does he have to take away and do the things till we listen to what he's really saying? What he's really saying, people: we've gone the wrong way. It's time to turn back to God. You're not smart enough. We're not smart enough to do it by ourselves. And all we're doing is get ourselves deeper and deeper until we yield to his will. But it's down there, people. There's wonderful things down in you. There's things that the Lord has put within us to help us. He said he's put a little light in everyone. Now, some of us don't develop that light. Some of us don't allow that light to rule our lives. But he's put something down in us. And sometimes we don't use those things God has given us. And one of them sometimes is a conscience. You know sometimes, and I know sometimes, what we don't do is right. What we do is not right. Because the Lord's given us something. But sometimes we don't develop. Sometimes our heart gets hard. I was just reading the Pharisees. "Now, why don't you accept our baptism?" That's what they were saying. "We keep the whole law." You didn't keep the whole law. Or you didn't own me. Because I made the law. I am the law. And we have to be careful. That same idea, you know, still the spirit of the Pharisees and the spirit of each one is still out there trying to get us to yield to those things that are not of God. But it's coming, folks. And it's coming from other churches. There's wonderful people in different churches. There's wonderful people that we had. God couldn't let them in because we would have hurt them. Luther Troyer one time was out, and he said, I was in this home out, and he said, I knew I had the ability to convert them to the church. But do you know what the Lord told them? They were really up in age. And he said, I love them, and I care them for this time, for this place, for now. Don't mix them up. Just love them and care for them, and I have a work for them to do. See, we're not as smart as we think we are. I was told that to my parents. They're wonderful. My mom gave and gave with 9 children, and she gave all the time. And I never heard her complain. There's wonderful people there that are ready, waiting for us to get this Zion going. But you know, it has to start in the heart of the children. I'm just a farm boy. I'm probably still just a little bashful boy, and maybe I'll always will be. But the law has given me at times great power and authority. And I feel this morning as I tell you folks these things that are of God. How long are my people going to wander in the wilderness? How long before they look up their heads and enjoy, worship me, and bring people in and joy? Why do you hold your heads down and sorrow and complain and worry about things? I am your God and your Creator. I am He that made life. I am He that controls all things on this land. You think I don't know about the problems in the world? Don't you know I have the answers? Don't you know you're living in a time that is running out? Don't you know that I am the only one who will find the way for you? Don't you understand that the things I have written and the things that I will share with you at times and in times to come will be the answer to your problems? And as soon as you yield your whole body and soul to me, you will begin to find joy. You're trying to walk two ways sometimes, and it tears you, and it tears me as I look down and see my children having less than they're created to be. I want you from now on to take seriously the Spirit of God that's in you. Yield to it. Listen to it. Be thankful for it. Teach your children about that. They felt it at times. They know, share with them. Teach them not only by book, but teach them by example. Folks, we're running out of time to be that people. And in this area I've set apart, for the center place of Zion. I speak to all of Zion here that it's time now to prepare yourselves in everyday life, your relationship with everyone, to be good and kind and walk as I did when I was on this earth. Don't you think I would have liked to have children? But don't you think I would do the will of my Father above my wants and my needs? I died for you. I gave my life freely. Surely you need to look at me and worship me. The things you're so concerned about sometimes won't last. But only the pure love of Christ will last.
I want to thank you folks for... Everybody's always kind to me. I don't know why. I can't do things. I'm not the person, but Christ is the one. And when I think about it, He's been with me all my life. When I look back, even the times I didn't pay attention to Him, I remember a person I knew. He said, when I see Christ, I have so many questions I want to ask Him. And he said one time in a vision, I saw Him and He started walking towards me. And he said, by the time He got close to me, I was down on my knees, worshiping and thanking Him that He was my God, Creator. All those things I had questions about were swept from me. And I was so appreciative of Him.
I'm looking forward to the days ahead. The better days are still ahead, and I don't care if you're 100 years old and don't know if you got tomorrow, like the rest of us. The better days are still ahead. You know, one time at a reunion, I saw just like a scroll, I saw it starting to open. And I even knew some people in there. There's going to be a great reunion, people. This life has value if we do those things that are eternal good. I hope and pray God will bless you. Never know if I'm going to see everyone again. But I'm thankful that God cares about us. He loves us. And I come from another faith. And here's the example. Here's the thing that made the difference. Here's the thing that I didn't realize. And here's the key. I never knew how much God loved people. I never knew how much He loved me. But when I did, it didn't take me long to realize I wanted to go to the waters and I wanted to be baptized. And it didn't take me long to figure out that I had to do more for Him than just take. I thank you folks for your attention, prayers, love is powerful. Someday, you'll have the same love that you have for your children, your wife, husband, grandchildren. You'll love everybody. What a day that's going to be. There won't be anybody that lacks because we wouldn't allow it if we loved them like our own. God bless you in the center place. We need you. Oh, how God needs you. And thank you. And praise God that He loves us.